Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back to the Huddle. Mike Max, Pete Najarian on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Darren Rocha, Regent, University of Minnesota, to talk about sports and more. Pete, obviously, with a long history at the University of Minnesota and his family. Darren, thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you, Mr. Max, for having me. It's a pleasure being here.
You know, we've talked about this last several weeks, really, but this whole NIL and money and paid to athletes and all those things. I know everybody, I feel like we're building the plane as we go, but what are you seeing at the University of Minnesota? What conversations are there at your level in the regions as to how you can support this, stay competitive with, and not be in violation of, and all the things that are going with this right now? I mean, it seems like a major fly in the ointment right now.
Well, it's certainly changing the dynamic across the country. You know, as a member of the board, we rely very heavily on the expertise of the athletic department, the athletic director, in how we proceed. As a longtime Gopher, in fact, it's a pleasure being on the phone here with Pete, because I used to listen to him in his exploits on the field back when I was in high school. I'd be out training with the horses out in the barn and listening to what was a pretty exciting couple of years. But and obviously very familiar with the life-saving and life-changing work his father did at the university and just the great history there. But with respect to, as a member of the board we follow what we're being provided and trusting that they're on top of this. But as a sports fan, I keep an eye on it. We just, we're following reports that show that there is a lot of activity with individual athletes. I'm happy to see that there's some balance between the men's department and the women's department. The revenue sports, of course, will be the most active, but also keeping an eye on what's going on at other institutions and, collectives being formed and so on. I, by no means am I an expert in this area, but I do pay attention as an individual member, but as a board, we've at this point adopted what provided by the athletic department. And so far we're, just waiting for continuing reports on how that's going.
Well, first of all, thanks for the great words. I really appreciate that. And we want to thank you for your service as well in Iraq and the Red Bulls and an amazing career that you've had. But I got some questions for you on this NIL. The more we dig into this thing, the more we find out there's really not a whole lot of regulation. There's not really much in the way of limits. And how do you think Minnesota can compete on the broad scale, across the country, when we see places like, for instance, Texas A&M, where it obviously got so much attention because of what happened with their football program and the 6-5 stars and the 19 4 and 3 star athletes they were able to get, and the $30 million that supposedly is what they've come with. Are we anywhere close to those kind of numbers? And if not, is there a way that we could ever get close to the kind of numbers that we're seeing across the country right now?
Well, you've touched on all the important points. When this first came out and people started talking about this outside money, as a longtime fan of the amateur status of college athletes, it's a bit of a shock and somewhat of a wait and see. But also coming from the hinterland, the middle of the country where we don't have the gigantic markets on the coasts, and obviously Texas is an enormous market, especially for football. Mm-hmm. It makes a guy nervous, right? I mean, how do we compete? Mm-hmm. I did think it was interesting to watch the dynamic, and then I don't think I've followed it as closely as you gentlemen, but with the Saban and his, you know, his objections and the fact that there's some, you know, kind of changing in the ranking of these of the teams that are coming out makes you think, well, maybe a smaller market, if very smart about the business side of it, can be competitive in that setting. But, you know, I can't speak to the exact dollar amount activity at the university because it's, you know, changing on a daily basis. But I, you know, I do know that there is a lot of activity that the department is trying, you know, I believe is staying in front of it as much as they can within this context. But, you know, alumni are going to play a huge role, you know, because it's how do you judge the market value of a, you know, the signature of a college athlete that most of us have never heard of, but at the same time, this is almost like the Robbie Benson. What was that movie that he was in where he was paid to watch the grass grow or whatever? You know, how do you, I mean, back then we laughed about it, but by golly, you know, the future is now. And so how do you make sure that this is not just simply another professional league? Because once the money's in there, it takes on a lot of those characteristics. So we've the Twin Cities is a nice big market. We're in better shape than perhaps like somebody in, you know, in Iowa, or, you know, where they don't have as large of a population in their state or their metro. I wish I had a clear answer for you guys, but I have the same concerns that Pete, you're raising.
Darren Roche is our guest. University of Minnesota serves on the Regents there, Board of Regents. Your tuition hike, did you think that was part and parcel with where it should be? How do you study that? How do you arrive at that?
Well, I've been pretty outspoken publicly, and I don't speak for the board. I speak for myself on these topics. But, you know, when you look at what's going on in just our region of the country, we are so out of alignment. Our tuition is, you know, for a Minnesota student is far higher than any of the states around us. You know, we raised 3.25, where we're already, you know, we're already close to 40%, around 40% higher than Wisconsin, which is a comparable school rankings wise and so on.
Yeah, that's hard to believe, you know, when I saw that. Yeah.
Well, and it's, you know, it's happened over time, and it's really unfortunate. And you know, of course, I had my time on the board in the 90s, where, you know, we were much more competitive, mildly higher, but, you know, far more competitive. And now we're really out of alignment. We went 3.25% higher. I voted against it, of course. Because I still feel like there's a great deal of public service to be considered in what we do as a public institution. Wisconsin on the same day froze theirs yet again. So not only are they, you know, $4,000 or $5,000 less than a Minnesota kid pays for a Wisconsin kid at Madison, but, you know, we've gone up even more. And I think that's inappropriate. I hope the legislature is paying attention, and not just in how they fund the institution, but also, you know, how they select board members that are committed to the public nature of the university. Iowa, this last week, raised theirs 4.25%, which was a percentage point higher than Minnesota. But when you read the fine print, that raises their in-state tuition at the University of Iowa, their most expensive public in the state, to $8,300, which is, whoa, you know, approaching half of what Minnesota's tuition is. And that's, you know, and so even with the 4.25%, we raised ours in real dollars more. So the gap grows even wider for Minnesota kids. And I think this is a crisis in our state, and I think it's something that we really need to work on.
Now, Darren, a real quick question for you on a different subject, but kind of coming back to the NIL world or whatever, just for a second. We're an institution that dropped a couple of sports from affordability standpoint, and now we're looking at raising money for the NIL side of things. How does the Board of Regents, how do they view this whole thing? Do they feel like they made a some of the decisions a little bit too hastily, maybe, you know, a couple of years ago, or where do we stand right now on that? Because I'm sitting here trying to figure this whole thing out, where a couple of million dollars came out of some of those programs, and now all of a sudden we're seeing, you know, the millions of dollars potentially coming over for the NIL money. Where do you think the rest of the board stands on that whole topic?
Well, how long a segment do we have here, Mike? great question, Pete. So I was one of the five members who voted against the discontinuation of the sports. It was 7-5, so it, you know, narrowly passed. And the fact was, there wasn't a cost savings. I mean, there is, you know, the savings, you know, these are facilities we already have for the women's teams of the same variety and so on. You know, so there wasn't really much savings in space and money. But the biggest thing is we had people that had committed to trying, you know, seeking to fund them. They were going to fund them in the short term, and they were going to try to endow them. And I thought that was a fantastic way of dealing with non-revenue sports for all of our non-revenue sports, you know, is because I don't think we should take money from our academic mission to pay for sports. But if you've got people that are willing to endow these sports so that they're self-funding, that would really help all of our programs. And then it wouldn't matter how many programs you have because they're self-funding. Mm-hmm. But that we didn't get an opportunity to pursue that because of the vote. And so, you know, I can't speak for the whole board. I can only speak for myself that I felt that it was a real disappointment. You know, you take a sport like men's gymnastics, you know, we have boys gymnastics programs all over the state. There's not at the high school, you know, they're not in the state high school league, but all these programs. And, you know, it's a big deal for a lot of these small towns. They have athletic, you know, gymnastics, you know, they have gyms, and having boys there was something to aim for, and the university was a big part of that. I felt that was a real loss for our state and for those kids that are competing in that sport. And it's anything we can do to get the kids to put the screens down and go and do something athletic or otherwise, I think is a big value for us. So, but as for the NIL, I guess there would be a nominal savings from having shut down those sports that perhaps goes in and assists that, but we already do a pretty substantial subsidy to our athletic department from our general fund, which ultimately comes from state dollars, tuition dollars. You know, it ends up in the same place. The fact that those programs had people that were going to fund them, and the fact that we could have then potentially, made that same request of other supporters of the other non-revenue sports, I think we did miss an opportunity to generate substantial funds for the department that would have been, you know, could have helped us be more competitive in the NIL world.
Darren, sure. Appreciate it very much. We would like to circle back with you sometime down the road because these are fun topics that are ongoing. But thank you so much for giving us some time and some perspective on it.
Great to talk with you guys. And again, yeah, Pete, just a pleasure to have a chance to actually talk to you. And hopefully we'll cross paths soon.
Darren, thank you so much. You should have him over there as your guest speaker for the region sometime. He'll set some people straight. Pete, well, let's take a break. Come back. You're listening to The Huddle. Stay with us.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.